father and son, the Holy Ghost, I mean. So, dear friends, we have very, very important feast. This is the matrimony between St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, 23rd of January. How to speak about this feast has been dropped out from the calendar, unfortunately. But this is the foundation of the Catholic Church, the foundation of our spiritual life, the foundation of family life, of nations. Everything is founded upon this Holy Family, which is the reflection of the Most Holy Trinity. So the most perfect fulfillment of all the Gospel, the perfect fulfillment of the Gospel and the life of virtue and supernatural life in faith and charity, trusting in God for everything, is in the Most Holy Family, the life of the Most Holy Family. So the important also, we have to focus a few things. First, the matrimony between St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary has to exist before the Incarnation. A real matrimony. What this means is that we know from tradition what happened. So the Blessed Virgin Mary made an act of perpetual virginity, yes, when she was presented to in the temple, 3 years old. And St. Joseph also. St. Joseph made a perpetual vow of virginity also, through the inspirations of the Holy Ghost, because was not done in the Old Testament. Was not a common practice at all. So what happened when God chose Saint Joseph as the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Was miraculous chosen? We know that the flower has to flourish. The stick that was given to Saint Joseph has to flourish in order to know who was the relatives of the Blessed Virgin Mary will be chosen by God. But before this this matrimony, both, in order to have a matrimony, real matrimony, valid matrimony, they had to, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, enter into the matrimony with their vows of virginity, but opening a window for a miracle. Has to be. This is what the theologians speak. Because for a matrimony to become valid, you have to open always the doors to life. But in the case of the Joseph and Blessed Virgin Mary, it has to be something miraculous. It's a mystery. We don't understand that mystery fully. But something so very high. But they have to open the window open for a miracle from the will of God, from heaven. So it was a real matrimony, the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, in virginity, yes. So having said that, so the child Jesus, the day of the Incarnation, yes, through the Annunciation of St. Gabriel, the Archangel, he came into the bosom of the Blessed Virgin Mary, into her womb, but inside of the Holy Family. He was incarnated in a matrimony form already. That is the reason why St. Joseph is a real virginal father to our Lord Jesus Christ, because the matrimony. And the fiat of Our Lady, the day of the Incarnation, the fiat of Our Lady was for both of them. Because she knew that St. Joseph and herself had to open the doors for a miracle as a condition for the matrimony to be valid. So when Our Lady gave her fiat to St. Gabriel, through St. Gabriel to our Lord, to God, she did it on behalf of both of them. Yes. Because God always follows the order. So the fiat of St. Joseph was implicit the day of his matrimony. And Our Lady expressed the fiat for both of them the day of the Incarnation. Even if St. Joseph knew after that, after the event afterwards, through the announcement of St. Gabriel himself. This is very important because it's impossible that God wants children out of wedlock. See? So the Blessed Virgin Mary was not at all a single mother, of course not. So this is an important concept. So everything has to be founded upon a family, come from a family. So the family of God, the Most Holy Trinity, and the Church wanted to be born from the Holy Family. Our Lord Himself is the children. So when the husband and wife get married, is a union between our Lord Jesus Christ and the Church to get children for God, to give Catholics, Christians, children of God, another child Jesus. The child Jesus. O sea, they had to give another child Jesus, allow in the matrimony as many child Jesus be born as God wants. And the husband is supposed to be like Saint Joseph, and the wife like the Blessed Virgin Mary, to imitate the virtues, the faith, hope and charity, fraternal charity, the love for the cross, the submission to the law of God, chastity, which is obligatory for everybody. In the case of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph was virginity, yes. It's the only difference. But for the rest, any family has to be shaped around the Most Holy Family. It was very important, this concept, because not only our family, but also our spiritual life. If you notice, we have been consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that she be our teacher, that she be our mother, our protector, but along with Saint Joseph also. That is the reason why we had to do the consecration to Saint Joseph. Because we, by doing these consecrations, we are consecrated to the service of the Most Holy Family. So we enter to be part to the Most Holy Family, submitting in obedience, surrendering as a slaves of love to Mary and Joseph, to live like Nazareth, like another child Jesus. This is the whole concept of holiness. In fact, Nazareth means the word Nazareth. Nazareth means house of holiness. Means the school of holiness, or the Holy Ghost teaching us is in this environment under Mary and Joseph. Our spiritual mother and our spiritual father, our real fathers, real mother and real father. The favorite title of Saint Joseph, according to Saint Pius X, is Virginal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Joseph is a virginal father, real father. So, putative father falls short. It's just an aspect of Saint Joseph to be putative, or to be nutritional father, or to be the adopted father is very short, falls short of what is Saint Joseph about. He's a real father. The saints said that matrimony perfect in all senses, and therefore paternity is more perfect than the paternity of those fathers who are fathers through the flesh also. Because the virginity is higher than the matrimonial life. Therefore, this virginal matrimony makes Saint Joseph a greater father than any other father. So there are mysteries that it's difficult to understand, but this is the saints, what the saints said about this topic. So what we like to analyze also is when a couple gets married, we tell them in their matrimonial talks that there are three goods they acquire by this matrimony. So the first good is to be able to give children to God. But this fruitful union between our Lord, husband and wife, the three are united to bear another child, Jesus, to populate heaven. And so this is why the parents had the whole 100% right and obligation upon the children, until the children die even. So, the parents, even if they are very old, they have still the responsibility upon the children to correct them, to teach them, to put example. That responsibility is not finished. It's not done, even if the boy or the girl has 21 years old. No, doesn't finish that responsibility. Also, and a consequence of this principle is that the grandparents do not replace the parents. Out of charity, yes, they help and take care of the grandchildren, but the only responsibility is of the parents and the godparents, no? So, but the grandparents, they are not responsible of the grandchildren, no? They have to help for charity's sake, but they are not obliged to take care of the children. They are not replacement of the children, of the parents. That's the reason why the mother should not work. Of course, it's a matter of principles, but each case has to be dealt as an exception or differently according to the circumstances. But as a principle, we're teaching here principles. The mother does not work, doesn't stay at home, because her responsibility number one is the husband and the children. And the rest comes from God. From the husband and from Christ, because it's matrimony between three: Christ, husband, and wife. And of course, the circumstances are different. But I repeat, we are speaking here about principles. So, as a principle, the reason why the mother has to be at home is because the child needs the mother and the father. Well, the mother the full time at home. It's the whole reason of the maternity. Yes. And also, the one who takes the decision of how many children is God, is Christ. Of course, because he's the king of the family. He's the center. He's God himself. And the rest will be given by Christ. Whatever is lacking, whatever is needed, whatever worries, whatever temptations, whatever difficulties, it will be solved by Christ. So we have to have a great spirit of faith and prayer and sacrifice, especially. Remember, we are speaking about principles. The application, of course, remember, depends upon each case, but we're here dealing with principles. The problem is that the modern matrimonies, they don't accept these principles. That's the problem. Because the lack of faith and lack of hope and charity. But the second good of the matrimony, which make them holy and sacred, is the fidelity, the good of fidelity between them and with Christ. So that's the three. So this matrimony creates a bond between husband, wife, and Christ. We are speaking here real matrimony, no? Real matrimony, so blessed by the church, no? So in such a way that if the wife wants to separate from the husband, he separates from Christ. And if the husband does something against the wife, he's doing it against Christ, against the Blessed Virgin Mary. At that degree, the bond is divine. The bond, matrimonial union is divine. Is blessed by Christ. It's the true good who has been elevated to the level of sacrament of the union. So it's a sign of the union between Christ and husband and wife, engrafted into the mystical body of Christ. It's why it's a symbol of the union between Christ and the church. So Christ unites through the husband and wife. Christ unites them. To his Most Holy Trinity, to his life, to his own life. That is the reason why this sacred bond cannot be broken. It's in this cannot dissolve. So divorce does not exist, and less annulment. So we were speaking about matrimonies who are real, no? Real matrimonies. Blessed by the church and valid. And so this is the third good that cannot be dissolved. That is the reason why someone will enter into matrimony, because will be not dissolved. Will not be existing the divorce. And until death together. And because it's a sign of the union between Christ and the church. So until Christ does not die for the church, is not over his work. On the contrary, it's perfected in heaven. No? And the church, each one of us, we cannot be separated from Christ until we die. Even, of course, we die, we are united to him more perfectly, no? After death. But this is a symbol of union with God. The union between husband and wife, the charity between among them, is a symbol of their union with God. Means that whatever wrong they do to each other, they do it to Christ directly. So beautiful, this concept, but very strong, powerful, and sacred. It's the reason why our Lord has to be born in a matrimony. To teach us that children have to be treated like the child Jesus to populate heaven. In a strong matrimony with the example of Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, as father and mother, as a spiritual life. Therefore, Saint Joseph will provide, and the Blessed Virgin Mary will be the heart of the family, teaching, protecting, and giving all the love and the strength, the Holy Ghost that we need. It's a beautiful concept, matrimony is something the most beautiful, but it's broken. It's the reason why we have to speak these topics, because the Novus Ordo, the modernist concept of matrimony, is totally different. It's human. If you ask what the Vatican II Council says about matrimony, you will find that they modify the definition of matrimony. They say, the new catechism says, matrimony is a union of a couple. They don't specify men and women. Vatican II says, it's a union of a couple for love and mutual help, mutual companion. That's it. And children is secondary, or it's optional, basically. So that is exactly to put the matrimonial for a human end. If you love each other, it's enough to come together. And children will depend upon you, basically, because it's a human union. And if you don't love anymore each other, you separate 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And this is why the bishop dissolve and give annulments. It's a catastrophe. This is why our little good success, the prophecy says, out of the 7 sacraments will be profanated, changed, and humanized. But she says that out of the 7 sacraments, the worst, or sea, the sacrament will be modified the most, will be the sacrament of matrimony. We know, for example, how much the new mass has been modified at the level of abomination. Now think about the sacrament of matrimony, which is much more modified than the Novus Ordo, according to this prophecy. Means that the matrimony for the Novus Ordo people is something human. Completely human. We see that around us. And our matrimonies, when the Catholic Church is divine. It has a divine bond with Christ and his most precious blood and the communion of saints. That's the reason why it's a catastrophe what the SSPX is doing. SSPX is mixing the matrimonies of the Catholic traditionalists with Novus Ordo. They speak about matrimony as with the bishop of the diocese asking permission as if the concept of matrimony were the same. And it's infinitely different. It is different. And they place the matrimony records into the diocese under the care of the bishop. It's like placing the children of God under the care of the wolves or the devil. Why? Because the bishop can dissolve any moment those matrimonies in his records in the diocese. Of course. This is why the SSPX is a catastrophe what they are doing. It's beyond imagination, this betrayal. Just by looking at the matrimonial issues. They ask permission to the wolves, the Novus Ordo bishops, to marry a couple who is going to get married to give children to God. And they place those records under the care of the wolves, who can dissolve the matrimony any moment. It's a catastrophe. Complete catastrophe. This is why it's very important to preach about this topic, to see the seriousness and the importance. So because the children of God has to be under the care of the parents and God parents, therefore the children must be educated also in a Catholic environment. It's another thing that is not being preached. St. Pius X says that for a child to be grown in a Catholic environment, he has to grow up in three Catholic environments. The tree has to be Catholic 100%. Well, at least without dangers against moral and faith. He said for a boy or girl to be grown up Catholic, school, parish, and home, the three must be Catholic, without dangers against faith and morals. He says if one of the three fails, the whole of the work is gone, is destroyed. It suffices that the school or the parish or the family fails for the education, Catholic education of the children fails altogether. It's his words. It's a 10 words. You see the seriousness of the point? That is the reason why I would say in 99% of the schools we can see dangers, near occasional sin, and dangers against moral and faith. It's a huge problem, yes. It's the reason why almost the only option is homeschooling. In difficult conditions, because of course we don't have preparation, but it's one of those things that God is going to take care. We have to live in the hands of Mary and Joseph to do those things that we cannot reach, but also oblige us to be studying, to be researching more and more all kinds of topics. Yes, all kinds of things, material of all topics. Besides, it's what we want to do. So, someone obliged asked me to do it, and we are obliged to do it. So, I will go back to you soon. We are putting together a platform with all kinds of material of all topics, trustworthy sources, Catholics in the supervision, in the approval of tradition and Catholic tradition, saints, doctors of the church, in order to share and to learn from trustworthy sources, all kinds of topics, material. It's very important, the material. It's never time lost to be researching and rescuing material that we need for our future families and our children. And it's an emergency. We have to do that. So I will go back to you soon, but next month we will be working on that platform of offering the studies and trustworthy information and sciences and books, conferences and different topics, so that we might be having a strong formation for our children, at least the most important thing, yes. So we ask our ladies and just to help us to strengthen families, and to see the necessity of fortifying our families in the formation, in the doctrine, in the tradition. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.